Welcome everyone to another Suffolk Babies podcast. Today we are going to talk about a topic that I think most people listening will relate to in one way or another, and that's handling the mother's mental load. Some of you may have seen this represented in a very thought-provoking cartoon by French artist Emma. If you haven't seen that, then do Google it, French artist Emma, the mother's mental load, and you will be able to see what she did. She illustrated this idea, or in many cases, actually, the fact that as a mother, we tend to be the one in our household that has the biggest juggle in terms of making sure everything for everyone in our family works, that the household continues to function and everyone goes to bed each night happy and able to wake up in the morning, you know, and feel that they can face the next day. And I think during lockdown, with everyone at home, homeschooling, trying to keep the house functioning with more people in it, keeping it clean, everyone fed, and let alone if you have to try and add work into the mix, it's a pretty tough time for us mums. I'd like to put a bit of a disclaimer on this, though, and say that what we're about to discuss is going to cover a lot of Joe and my own experiences. And while we know it's widely felt by a huge proportion of mums, for those of you who may not feel this way and or have very proactive or helpful partners, or if you are a partner listening to this who takes on a lot of the mental load, then we salute and commend you. It's important for people to know that we don't aim to offend anyone by the content of this podcast, but as always, we want to discuss topics that we know are commonly shared experiences. So with that bit out of the way, and I know, Joe, both you and I have had our own fair share of mental load meltdowns, don't we? When it all gets a bit too much some days. Yes, everyone listening, you heard it here first. Joe, the one who is the calmest and most all-knowing person that you all go to for advice, loses her sometimes. It's hard, isn't it? I mean, Joe, sometimes you've got six people in your house.
We do at the moment. And yeah, Mel, I absolutely lose my, you know, on a regular basis, as everyone will tell you who lives with me. So yeah, no, we've got a lot of people in a relatively small space, and that does add a lot of pressure when you're locked down and you are trying to work and you're trying to homeschool and you're trying to feed everyone and not visit the shops. This is the one that's killing me, is that, you know, I'm trying to really, really reduce the number of times we go out for supplies, but I am surrounded by, you know, I've got three growing boys between the ages of 9 and 17, and my daughter's pretty much the same, who are like locusts. And that, I mean, like, running out of stuff is a huge source of stress for me at the moment, and just feeding them and cleaning up after feeding them and keeping them clean and doing the homeschooling and trying to fit in my work around that. And you know, it's just all days seem to merge into this battle, this quest. Mm. So
it's tricky. It's really tricky trying to balance it all, isn't it? And I'm going to early on call out the elephant in the room, which is the part of the mental load that makes it feel worse, certainly for me anyway. And that's the fact that for many of us, our partners don't seem to get it. They don't seem to have any idea about all the things that need to happen, all the things that we have to think about that have to be done for everyone's life to be the easy life that they manage to live. You know, all those different things that go on in our brain, all those different speech bubbles, if you were to kind of illustrate it as that French cartoonist did, that we have to kind of juggle and think about and get done and then sort of move on to the next one. I don't feel like, certainly, as I said, my partner really understands that, and I think that's where we really get frustrated, because there seems to be kind of no way out of this bubble that we seem to be in.
I think that's really true. We actually, my partner and I had a conversation about this just yesterday, about how in any situation, whether it's at work or at home, you have to have like a manager, an overseer of the thing. And we've had a really rational conversation about this to try and stop there being any pressure points as we went into this lockdown. Now, his job does take priority because he earns more money than I do. Therefore, we need him as a family to be functioning at his highest level. Therefore, I am the manager of the house. It's nothing to do with our gender. It's just, you know, we've done this equation based on income. Completely, you know, kind of just calculated it that way. And yet when he helps me and he does cook, you know, kind of like Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays, he's in charge of the kitchen. But it really drives me mad because he never puts stuff on the blackboard when he's run out of things. So that means that he doesn't follow my management system. And it then means it creates pressure points like later on, because what you know what it's like when you are sitting there totting up in your head and you're doing your online shopping and everything. I know what I'm cooking this week. I estimate, like, for example, our pressure point yesterday was white onions. And he has this habit of using like 5 more onions than I would allocate to a dish. So I'm now out of onions, which has a massive impact on me today when I'm prepping kids' lunch because I want to make tomato and basil sauce. So now I have got to add a trip to the shop into my already tight time pressured day. And I was hopping about it. And we're effectively having an argument over an onion, which is also insane. But, you know, it's like you kind of sitting there thinking you don't know the implication of you not giving me an accurate stock estimate.
Yeah, because they don't have this long term view of what then needs to happen next. But I also know that that sounds like we're being really controlling. But I have similar as well in our household. We have the same conversation. My husband works very hard. He's working to provide for our family. But then while I'm there in the morning trying to dress 2 toddlers, thinking about what they're going to have for lunch at breakfast time, what am I going to do with them all day, what clothes need washing, when am I going to do the dishwasher, and if I've missed anything vital at work that should be done that means someone else can't go through their day because they haven't got what they need, then it's really difficult, isn't it? And I think it's again a source of stress for us of how we not only deal with those tasks that we know we have to do, but deal with the mental stress of feeling like we're not actually being supported by our partners to do those jobs that we need to do. And it's difficult.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that, you know, it's kind of like, I think it's also hard, Mel, for us, because you and I and our partners are all leaders, effectively. We're all quite strong personalities. And we do like to be in charge of the areas that we're managing. So for me, I get very frustrated. If I've been given the responsibility of managing the household, I actually really expect everyone to toe the line and to follow the protocols, if you like, that we've put in place. You write onions on the blackboard. Do you know what I mean? If you use more, you write it down. If you fail to do that, then you haven't, you know, kind of like followed the protocols, and it you should respect the fact it has implications on someone else. But if you say that to somebody who is used to being a leader in their own right, they're not going to, you know, they're also going to do things in their own way.
Oh, yeah.
So, and in a normal unlockdown situation, actually probably it doesn't matter and you wouldn't care. But for us, like you just said, juggling the work element into this, because for me, it's like, no, I don't have toddlers, but I am in the thick of homeschooling. And homeschooling has got so much better. I've got so much respect for the teachers and my kids are doing some really great stuff. But I do actually need to be there to supervise and support. I am now their teacher. So I am fulfilling the role of housekeeper, teacher, and I'm trying to do my full-time job, my more than full-time job. So it is really, you know, that's 3 things that we're having to fit in. And I find that actually sometimes completely overwhelming.
It's difficult. And if you have a partner, anything like my partner, he absolutely hates being told what to do. And he finds me telling him or asking him to help around the house, telling him what to do. And he will actually actively try and do the opposite, because he really hates being given instructions by me. But like you've said, you've then agreed that that's how you're going to operate, then you just want people to sort of go along with it, don't you? And just make life easier.
And to fulfill their allocated tasks. And it's a little bit like the conversations that we have between you and me, isn't it, Mel? You know, it's like we have times where we divide tasks between us. And if one person doesn't complete their task, it creates a sticking point for the other person in the dynamics. So that's really, you know, so we don't do that to one. Well, I hope I don't do that to you. And I think the other thing that I was trying to get across in a conversation, actually, just like last, or maybe it was Friday night, is that because time is such a valuable commodity to me, because I'm fulfilling these 3 roles, work tasks do come last in this situation. And I plan my day very, very carefully to create these pockets of time where I think I can do that task there, I can do this task here. And then if one of those pockets disappears because I'm having to walk to the shop to buy an onion, then that actually really creates this kind of sense of pressure, being overwhelmed, frustration, anger, you know, kind of all of these things that make you feel really, the implications are huge. And they're going, oh my God, she's still just having a go at me about the onion, for God's sake. But actually, I'm having a go about the fact that, you know, I've now not been able to do the client call.
That's my plan. That's what you're having a meltdown about. You've messed up my plan. And yeah. Everything is planned to the nth degree.
Exactly. And it's like that 10 minutes did matter.
This is what I always say to my husband. This is the epitome of what we're talking about. He can get up in the morning. Granted, he will take the 1-year-old now. You know, if our 3-year-old hasn't got up, he will take the 1-year-old after many, many conversations about, please, I just need an extra 10 minutes sleep. So he will take the baby. But then as soon as the 3-year-old's up, I need to get up anyway. Then he'll go off and have a shower, nice leisurely shower, get himself ready for work, and then go and shut himself away in the office. Again, I know he needs to work. You're just like you. We rely on his income, etc. But then I just think, but then you don't have to think about anything else other than that job that you then have to do. And that infuriates me.
Because I get quite jealous of that, Mel. I have to say, I was like, and it's not an attractive trait, is it? But I am jealous. I'm quite envious of it. And it seems like luxury to me, the fact that you can sit down at your desk and work on your projects to the point where you have completed something, and having that sense of meaning and achievement and purpose to be able to start a task and finish it to completion seems like the ultimate luxury in life at the moment, rather than having this never ending, always accumulating to-do list, which is just, you know, and I think that's the thing, is that we never get to the point where we're like, oh, gold star. So that's really hard.
And I guess I have my biggest meltdown where I feel like there is absolutely no empathy for how much I have to keep in my brain and how much I have to try and get done in a day. Empathy or even acknowledgement, basically, which I find really tough. But the whole conversation that you raised about you agreeing that you're the manager of that household is interesting, because actually in some of this depiction about the mental load by this French illustrator, she talks about the fact that if you are then assigned as a manager, then you have to manage tasks. And actually that means that you have very little time to do the tasks. And she takes this into kind of a workplace example. And we all know this, when you become a manager, you manage people, and therefore you don't get the time to dip in and out of the projects to do the stuff because you're too busy managing. And I think that is what happens. We're so busy managing these tasks, but we also have to do the doing of them. Mm-hmm. It is then so difficult to get the doing done because we're managing
this is another great source of frustration for me with older children, because, you know, you kind of, everyone's like, oh, well, they can help. And yeah, they can help, but they never do things. Like, we have an agreement at the moment. My eldest son, 17, normally works in a pub, can't currently earn any money, which is hard for him. So he is cleaning instead. And actually, do you know what? He's really good. I've trained him, obviously, because I am, you know, quite a forceful personality, and he does do a really good job. But it's still not quite. He still needs that follow up. He still needs that constant supervision in a lot of ways. So, you know, it's like I sent him off to empty all the bins around the house, and he's done sort of half of them. And so then the other half still have to be done. I may as well have done it myself. But actually, do you know what? I'm not going to, because if I don't continue getting him to do it and point out where there are areas for improvement, it will never be a task that's off my list. But you're right, it's still the time implication of me doing the follow-up with him is the same as me thinking I may as well, if I could have just gone and done it myself. I'm focusing on the long-term goal, in that maybe by the end of this lockdown, you know, March, I put my target on, and then I'll be able to say, go and empty the bins, and it will all be done. Perfectly. So I'm trying to remain optimistic, but you're completely right. It is just, you may as well kind of like complete these tasks. And then everyone turns around to you and goes, well, I've offered to help. That really winds me up.
That's the other part of this conversation, isn't it? You know, the whole idea that you need to tell people, your partner or other members of your family, what to do, or the fact that you need to ask them to do it, is even more annoying. The cartoonist, she raises that this makes you, again, the manager of the chores and everything, and this is a full-time job. But why can't there be an equal shared identification of the tasks that need doing, and therefore an equally shared distribution of the tasks, rather than you having to ask your partner to do stuff, why can't they see that it needs doing and just do it rather than having to be told to do it? I had an example of this, like last night, I asked my husband to hang up the washing. He started it. He got distracted. I didn't see him getting distracted until he decided to go to bed. And I was still up doing something for our family. And then what I see is before I go to bed at 11:30 at night, a full wet basket of washing. So I ended up doing it myself, you know, when I could have been going to bed. So it's just, why can't, in my case, my partner, see that stuff needs doing and just do it instead of me having to be the one that kind of has to tell them.
And also then tell you that they've done it as though they've done you a favor.
Yeah.
That is also kind of like, no, you've done something that actually contributes towards you having some dry pants tomorrow, mate. It's kind of like, no, it's not my job. I'm just the manager.
I know. And you are a full grown male.
Like, yeah. But I think the problem is, like, I don't know why it ends up being that. Maybe it is, you know, if you're given the role and the responsibility of manager, you have to take rough with the smooth. God, it just ruins feminism for me, Mel.
I know.
It ruins it all.
I know. And I grapple with this in my head all the time. And I'm sorry, everyone listening, if I sound like I'm partner bashing. I kind of am. But also, this is really cathartic for Joe and I to get this off our chests. And we feel that it really will resonate with people. But at the same time, maybe it is a societal thing. I don't think it's actually their fault. I think it's just the society in which we have been raised that just means that that's just kind of the role that women have taken and men have continued to take, and we maybe need to try and change that in society. But I also sometimes, Joe, sit there and think, well, maybe this is because actually I'm good at it. It is a skill. Maybe I need to embrace that it's a skill that I'm good at, because I don't think he could do it because he doesn't have those skills. So maybe I need to look at it more positively about me, and it's a positive implication on me because I am able to juggle and organise things, whereas he doesn't have that skill. So we are maybe utilising our skills to our best ability. Doesn't mean it's any less frustration, but maybe we need to look at it that way so that we don't get as annoyed and frustrated.
Yeah, I think there is an element of that. I do think there is an element of that. And there is also a lot of my stress at home, I think, does definitely, I do self-generate because I do want to run my home. I do, and you know, and it's like my home is really, really precious to me, and I like things to be done in a certain way, and I do have really high standards, and I don't like my kids eating processed food, so I do at the moment make my own bread, which I don't need to do. So maybe, you know, it's kind of like, but again, it stops me having to go out to a shop. So it's you know, there are all these things that, you know, we do self-create, and maybe we could, you know, learn. I think some of this is, and I say it all the time to new mums, is like, get really used to being average. We underestimate the importance of being really good at being average. And so being average at a lot of stuff is better than being a perfectionist at one thing, isn't it? So it's the don't get into the situation where you're doing attention to detail at the expense of the whole. You know, it's kind of, you know, if you drop your standards, then you can make life a lot easier, and maybe you don't have that mental stress that has been created. But
really difficult for some people. I find it
difficult. I find it difficult, but there comes a point where you can't drop your standards any lower, Mel. And I've actually found that point recently because during lockdown, because, you know, there are times when you can't just go, actually, I'm just going to drop my standards and not feed you at lunchtime. It's too much for me. So there is no lunch. I've abolished it. For mums, there is that point where you can't lose some things, isn't there? And I think particularly, you know, with the basics. So that's where there are essential tasks.
Yeah, I often kind of sit here, I will admit to having times where I've sat here and thought, would it just be easier if I was on my own? Because then I wouldn't feel let down by anyone. But obviously it wouldn't be, because another pair of hands is always going to be better than none. But I know, you know, there's so many single mums out there, Joe, you've done it yourself. And I sit there and I think, actually, am I being, again, really selfish? Because single mums have to do it all on their own all the time. So
to be honest, Mel, and maybe this is because I have perhaps spent a long time being a single mum. And certainly when my two eldest children were toddlers and in the phase that you're in now, I was a single mum. And I found that phase easier without anyone interfering, because and maybe that was also because I had, you know, these very strict ideas about how I wanted to look after them and how I wanted to implement, you know, as much Montessori in my day-to-day life as possible, and other people didn't get it. And just where I was in my life at that point, I was happiest on my own with my children in my own little bubble. And I could plan really accurately without anyone upsetting my stock levels and the other stuff that, you know, kind of comes into day-to-day life. And yeah, it's physically utterly exhausting. But and that, you know, I did really enjoy that in a lot of ways. But I think that, you know, it depends on your personality type at the end of the day, doesn't it? I am very happy on my own and with my animal, with my dogs and my kids. And I like that little bubble and that being away from the rest of the world. So it's hard for other people. It's not going to suit them.
Yeah, but I think, you know, we talk about the mental load, but for many people, especially new parents, an added pressure is this whole kind of working it out between you and your partner, especially, you know, if it's your first baby and you haven't had to do this before. An extra level of stress is created by sort of working out between you how you should do things. And when you have a disagreement about whether you should do it this way or that way with your partner, it adds another huge burden on this mental state that you're carrying, doesn't it? Because it's another thing for you to have to worry about. And I'm pretty sure that, as always with these things, we would talk about those kind of things, but my husband would go to bed and he'd fall straight to sleep because he just wouldn't think about it. But I would lay there awake at night going, well, maybe he's right, but then I'm sure I'm right because I've got to trust my instincts, but maybe he is right. And it's just another layer of added mental stress that would be really good if we didn't have to carry, but it just comes along with new being a new parent, doesn't it? You're still working it out together.
Yeah, you are still working out. And I think it's also, it comes down to those things that contribute towards stress in terms of an emotional sense, because, you know, like having that new baby affects your status and your respect within the family, of like your position within the family. It affects the way that you connect with your partner. It affects your senses of achievement. All of these different things are affected by having a baby or still being in those early childhood years. So, and we go from having equality to everything in life being pretty much 50-50 to being in a situation where biologically and physiologically your baby needs your body more than it needs your partner's. So your partner becomes the person who should, you know, in a way you need looking after you, and you look after to enable you to look after that baby. So it absolutely upsets our entire, you know, equilibrium in our home, you know, environments, in our safe place. And nobody really understands, you know, where their role is. And you have to find that whole new level. It's like redefining your relationship. And that is a huge source of stress.
So how can we deal with it? How can we change it? Can we change this idea of the mother's mental load and how we feel about distribution of tasks and allocation of responsibility and empathy and respect for each other's allocation of the day-to-day chores, etc.? Can we change it? Have we got the power to change it? I think for me, the thing I've learned is, even if it feels like you're repeating yourself and you're knocking yourself head against the brick wall, you have to keep talking to your partner. You have to keep raising it. You have to keep talking calmly about it. And I find this really hard. My calm levels do not stay calm for very long if I feel I've had this conversation for about the 50th time in the last week. But maybe it's all about actually looking at all the tasks that need to be done and together making a joint decision that of who will take on what, without it being a manager and a delegation sort of position. Maybe you need to just allocate them both together. You both decide who's going to do what, so that you're not the one that's constantly then nagging to do the task that you've allocated to your partner.
Yeah, I think it's, you have to work out what's going to be right for the dynamic of your relationship and your household as a whole. I know that the equality look on this is not going to work for us, because just in terms of time requirements, we can't be equal. We can't. There is no way. But what we've decided, absolutely, you're right, communication is the key. And I don't have a solution for this yet. We're still working on it. Communication is the key. And I think having prepared to have some really challenging conversations that are potentially a little bit uncomfortable as well is really important. So I said, in fact, yesterday that, you know, if I have got this role of manager, then actually I'm going to have to implement it in the same way that I would do in a workplace, which means that if tasks haven't been completed, I am going to have to call people out on it and call people up on it. And they then have to be prepared, rather than digging their heels in and creating a conflict situation, they have to be prepared to go and complete the task that was allocated to them. Because otherwise you're putting your manager in an impossible position and it affects the whole. So I've decided just to go at it probably from a different angle to you, Mel. I'm going at it with more force.
Well, I would love to say I could do that, but my husband does not want to be managed by me, especially. So I cannot be a manager in our household, because it would just create a whole load of new problems in our relationship.
But that's the difference, isn't it? So I think it is the kind of like, you're going to have to use more of a coercive sort of tactic, whereas I'm going for full on oppression. So,
and we all want what we can't have. I'd love a bit more of someone who just do what I told them to do, but no, that's not why I'm married.
So it's so hard, isn't it? No, I don't want it to sound like that, you know, we are partner bashing. I know it sounds like that, but actually I'm not, because I mean, my partner is pretty awesome. He copes with my full-on, you know, utter emotional meltdowns, where, and I do, like you, Mel, I think about things far more deeply than I think he does. And so he's just sitting there going, you got that from what happened then? My God, that's how you're feeling? I had no idea. I didn't feel like that. I just thought I'd use an extra onion. And no clear whatsoever. So I think that, you know, we're not at all. And I think it's very hard when to stand in their shoes sometimes, when they think they're doing this. Imagine how they must feel. They're doing this really great thing. He's cooking this amazing meal because he wants to do something lovely for me. And I come in ranting and raving about my stock level of a really basic product that I can get more of from shop that's 2 minutes away. You know, that's pretty callous, isn't it? I felt quite bad when I reflected upon that. Yeah. So, you know, you have to keep the communication channels open. But I think also if you put a structure in place, everyone has to work to that structure. And then you assess whether or not it's working for your household. If you haven't given it a decent badge, and you haven't, and no one has fulfilled their side of the bargain, you can't assess whether or not it's actually improved things. And then you feel hopeless. Then you feel entrenched in this situation that's just hopeless and there's no light.
Yeah, and again, we can't expect them to be mind readers either. And because we do think so much deeply about stuff, and that is just a man versus woman trait, you know, I don't think there's anything we need to apologise for about that. That is just the difference between the two genders. And I don't think we can change that. But because we do feel so much more deeply than them, they all have no clue. So unless you tell them that that's how you that's made you feel, they will have no idea. So that's why you do need to talk to them calmly and as rationally as you can about how you're feeling about things and your areas of stress and what's creating stress in your own mind, because otherwise they can't be blamed for not knowing it. As we always say to people, I'm not a mind reader.
And I think it's also, I think sometimes, and the other conversation that came out yesterday evening is that my partner thinks that when I'm having my rants and my meltdowns, I'm automatically having a go at him, which actually I'm not. I'm having a go at the situation and I'm trying to verbalize that I feel very stressed by X, Y, and Z. Those things are not necessarily his fault. And maybe there's absolutely nothing he can do to change the reality of what we are by default living with at the moment as the women in our households, because we do have to do the homeschooling and we do have to, you know, the side of the bargain is they're focusing on their job, we're focusing on running the house. And, you know, so it just as when he comes out of a meeting that hasn't gone so well, he might have a rant. It's just that I am in the thick of it a lot more, because we're surrounded by so many different pressures and we're juggling so much, and we don't have anyone else to kind of like let off steam to, so that we're not expecting them to create a solution. We're not expecting them to take responsibility for the sources of stress. We just need to talk to someone about it. So I think that, you know, you have to say as well, look, this isn't personal, I'm not having a go at you, but my God, this happened today.
Or I'm feeling overwhelmed by the whole situation. And yeah, it isn't something that you have or haven't done. It's just the entirety of life at the moment. It's getting to me. I think you're right. You kind of do need to just offload to people, don't you? And they are the ones that you do it to, because they're the ones you're closest to as well.
And by WhatsApp to you, Mel, I think we kind of keep it quite
and to each other, Suffolk Babies. You know, that's why we have the groups that we have, isn't it? To have this conversation. So, we talked a little bit about also letting go of your standards. And I do think, you know, if we're giving top tips of how to deal with the mother's load, then that is one of them. You do need to kind of give yourself a level to which you can drop your standards in certain areas and just try and get to grips with that being the reality of the situation to make your life easier and less stressful as and when you can.
I think the other thing I did just really want to briefly touch on, Mel, is that I don't know about you, but my social media feed at the moment is full of videos and memes about mums waiting until 6 o'clock to have that, you know, glass of wine to make the mental load easier. And the thing I, and as you know, I very much committed to that policy in the last lockdown. But it is very much what I, and actually I think it made the situation a lot harder. And because if you are constantly, you don't sleep as well when you're drinking, you don't feel anywhere, you don't have the emotional resilience. And, you know, so I think a lot of the time it's, whilst it's kind of really tempting just to go for escapism, sometimes a lot of the things that you need to do kind of are just easier when you're getting a decent night's sleep and you're not kind of hungover the next day the whole time. So this one we're doing dry completely. And I know,
I'm sorry, you're brave. I totally agree with what you've said, but there's some days I just need to have it.
I think it is so tempting, isn't it? And it's so easy to get stuck into that 6 o'clock. Thank God I can get the gin out. And but actually that makes the whole, so if you're doing it every single day for a whole lockdown, it's going to make your life so much harder. So yeah, so I think it's like, that was the first thing this time around. I just thought, no, I'm not doing it. I can't get into this culture again. So
Yeah.
So we're and to be honest, just having done like the first 2 weeks, I think it really is paying off. And yeah, I'm looking forward to a glass of wine at some point. But right now, I'm really pleased that I have that. I need the additional energy that I have right now to cope.
A final just thing I wanted to talk about, because I know you've done this with your children, Joe, having watched your children go out from a very young age as well. It's also trying, you know, helping the mother to ease the mother's load. Maybe it is about educating our children about all the things that need to be done to make a household function and getting everyone to contribute to getting to making that household function, getting everyone involved in those day-to-day tasks. So it isn't just about the mum doing it all. It becomes the norm that everyone does get involved. It's a very, very Montessori way of working, isn't it? And I know you've done it very well with your children, but I think it's for anyone with young children, it is important just to say, you know, a real good way to reduce your levels of stress is to get everyone involved so that it isn't just seen as your line of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it contributes to your child's sense of self-worth as well. And the important thing as well too, you know, they need to see themselves as valued members of this grouping, of this family group, all of whom contribute to, you know, your joint success and your running of your home. So they absolutely should contribute to helping. My children all do stuff, not for me, to help me, but to further our success as a family group. And I think that's the way we try and view it. But yeah, it is hard, like I said, with my son with the bins, it is harder when you are getting them to do stuff than it is just to do it yourself. It is more time consuming. The other thing to remember is that you do have to get them helping from a really young age. Children between 0 and 6 will want to contribute. They will mimic your day-to-day tasks. They are desperate to contribute to the running of the home. Between 6 and 12, it's going to change. They go into the chaos zone. It's when they become messy. It's like they will have no idea where they've left their shoes. I was said to Mel just before we started recording this, I sent my teenagers and my younger ones out for a walk with the dogs while we were doing this. No one knew where their wellies were. They had them an hour ago. They're all in different locations. It's like, how have you done this? So yeah, between 6 and 12, utter chaos theory. And then teens just are in a different place altogether because they're going through such massive brain development and puberty, which just drains them of all energy and they're exhausted. And it's they go through more physical changes from 13 to 21 than they do in toddlerhood. You know, it's hell, it's awful for them. I empathize with my teens completely. But, you know, you need to get the foundations in place. So get your children doing stuff that they can. Pairing socks, emptying dishwashers. They are capable of far more than you could possibly imagine. They can clean sinks in toddlerhood. There'll be water everywhere, but they can do it.
Oh, they can clean their own tables. We watch Theo now, our one-year-old, get a little spray bottle of water, yeah, get a little cloth, wipes his own table down.
Yeah, absolutely. And it keeps them busy. They can prep vegetables. They can grate cheese. They can do loads of stuff. You maybe can't rely on them to do a whole task, but you can give them a bit of it to do so that they are, you know, doing stuff alongside you. Yeah. And yeah, so absolutely get that in place before the age of six. Otherwise, after the age of six, you are going to have a battle on your hands.
Yeah. Don't think that they're too young, because they're actually really not.
No, they're not. They're not.
And it will give you so many more lovely memories to look back on too, because it does create a whole lot of laughter as well, from my own experience anyway. Watching them chop up things with their little knives or wipe the tables down is just, it's magic, actually.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's wonderful. So no, it's kind of like, absolutely get them contributing to life. And it is contributing to life. It's not helping you, you know, it's contributing to their life and the well-being of your family group.
Thank you very much, everyone. Sorry if it's been a bit ranty. I hope so. There has been some snippets of insightfulness and knowledge and something that might help you. Hopefully it's been a good listen and it's something that you can all relate to. As always, if you have any feedback, please do let us know. But we've greatly enjoyed creating this podcast for you, and we look forward to speaking to you all again soon.